And so this is week number three of our series, When Life Gives You Lemons. You know, the old saying is, and we said this at the first week, is that, you know, the old saying is, when life gives you lemons, what do you do? Well, I tell you what we're going to do. We're not going to just make lemonade. We're going to overcome the lemons. Amen. And we're going to win every battle, every opportunity that we get. And so that's what we're looking at. We've had a great time the last couple of weeks. I encourage you, if you have missed any of the messages, go to the website. Everything is right there. All of the MP3 files you can download. Also, I want to say this to you. For today's message, my notes are on the website. So if you want to follow along, and if you want to take out your handout that you received on the way in so you can fill in the blanks, here's all that I ask. Don't cheat. Don't look on the website and fill in all the blanks before we get to them, okay? Because I want you to get them as we get the points as we get to them. But in case you miss something, everything is right there. And so you can review it later, and also if you do want to follow along. But let's look at the foundation scripture that's a part of this series that we began looking at, and that's found in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. It's on the screen or on your notes there. And the Apostle James said this, my brethren or my sistren, he said, count it all joy. Say joy.
Joy.
He said, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. How many of you know that's not always easy? But it's necessary. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. Verse 3, knowing that the testing or proving or trying of your faith produces patience. By the way, patience does not mean put up with. If you look in the dictionary, the word patience means to remain consistent. A lot of people think that it means to tolerate. It doesn't mean tolerate. So, you got that coworker on the job and, you know, you pray, Lord, give me patience with them. Really if you want to be biblical, really what you should be praying for is the old word long suffering. Help me put up with them. Okay. But patience really means to remain consistent. So he said, let your faith, the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And then let's read it, verse 4 from the Amplified Bible. It says this, but let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work so that you may be people, and I love this part, perfectly and fully developed with no defects. It is the will of God that you have no spiritual defects whatsoever. Amen. And then the last phrase is just as equally as important, and that is lacking in nothing. Now, here's the good news, and here's the point of this whole series, and that is this. Based on this verse, is that we all face problems and challenges because life happens to all of us. But here's the good news, that if you will learn what to do when that happens, according to what James says, you can come out on the other side of that situation better off than when you went in. He said that you'll come out lacking nothing. And so it is possible for us to come. I know that sounds counterintuitive, that we can come out of a problem with our life fully satisfied and missing nothing. And that's God's plan for our lives. And so we've been talking about that again for the previous 2 weeks. But I want to talk about today about something that I believe is a little overlooked and maybe under-preached or under-taught. And we want to talk about it today, and that is probably one of the greatest weapons that God has given us, greatest tool that He's given us in order to be able to handle situations when they come. And that is this, and this is the first thing I want you to get on your notes, and that is this, that the best thing you can do when life gives you lemons is praise the Lord. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Now, listen, do me a favor. I know that that's a Christian cliche. You know, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing great, praise the Lord. So we say it all the time, but I really want you to kind of focus in on it and really get it down in your heart what this is all about. What does it mean when we say that, and what do we do? So let's begin this. If you're following along in the notes, let's define this. What is praise? And the dictionary defines this. Praise means to express grateful approval. It means this, to have admiration or commendation for someone. So, you know, listen, it's possible for you to praise your spouse. It's possible for you to praise your children. It's possible for you to, you know, praise your coworkers, whatever the case is. But we're directing that in the context of what we're talking about is directing that to God. And so what we're talking about is expressing grateful approval of God. Now, I want to say this from the get-go. God is not hung up to where he has to have your praise. Okay? He doesn't have a bunch of insecurities and he's just waiting on you to praise him so he feels better about himself. No, God totally feels good about himself. But what he understands and what he knows is the power that becomes available in our lives when we take time and we praise him. And so it becomes a tool, it becomes a weapon for us. So then let's answer the next question. Who should praise the Lord? Well, let's let the Bible answer that question. It says in Psalm 150, verse 6, let everything, say everything.
Everything.
And you could also say everybody, but let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Is there anybody here under the sound of my voice that does not have breath today? Okay, if you do, if that is you, then we need to pray for you. But as far as I know, every one of y'all has breath in your lungs. Every one of us are breathing this morning. I lost my screen up here, guys. So if you need to, restart it and let's go back into it. But the thing that I want you to see is that God says everybody can praise the Lord. So nobody is exempt. Nobody is disqualified. Nobody is left out of this. So this includes everybody in the room. So turn to somebody close by. Tell them this. Say, you need to praise the Lord. Because you've got breath in your lungs. Amen. That's all of us. That's every single one of us. All right. Now, so we know what praise is. We know who should praise the Lord. So I want to spend the balance of today's message talking about when should we praise the Lord? When is the appropriate time for us to praise the Lord? So let's let the Bible define it for us. Let's look at Psalm 34, verse 1. David wrote this. He said, I will praise the Lord when I feel like it. He said, I'll praise the Lord when everything is going great. What did he say? He said, I will praise the Lord, how many? At all times. Notice this, I will constantly speak his praises. One translation says, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. So, you know, listen, I think it's very, very important that we understand that it's the proper time to praise the Lord is at all times. And then notice this, he said, I will constantly speak his praises. Now, you know, somebody might say, well, Pastor, you know, I've got a praise in my heart. Well, if you've got a praise in your heart, it should come out your mouth. Okay? Now, I know people worship and people praise differently because we're all at different places and things like that. But the thing that I want you to realize is if you have praise, Jesus said this, he said that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you've got praise down in your heart, it should come out of your mouth. Amen. You know, it's interesting to me that you can't think praise. If you think you can, try that. If you're married, try that with your spouse. Don't ever tell them how much you appreciate them, how much you love them, how beautiful you think they are or handsome or whatever the case is. Just say, well, you know, I believe that in my heart. Tell them that every now and then. I guarantee you that won't fly. It won't get you far. No, it needs to come out of your mouth so that they can hear it. Amen. All right, so when should we praise the Lord? At all times. So praise should be a part of our everyday lives. Now, I want to be a little more specific for you just so we can break this down and you guys can know specifically when I should praise the Lord. So I'm going to give these to you until we get it fixed on the screen. But here's the first thing. Here's the first time that you should praise the Lord. And it is this, in the best of times. In the best of times. When life is going good, when life is running smooth and it just doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of negative things happening, that is a time that you and I should spend praising the Lord. I want to give you some biblical examples here so we can look at some things and So what we're going to do is I want to go into 1 Chronicles, and I want to point out some highlights to you about a story of David and what David was experiencing. Now, many of you are familiar with King David. He was probably the greatest king in all of the history of Israel. And it says in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Now when David was settled in his palace, he summoned Nathan the prophet. He said, 'Look,' David said, 'I'm living in a beautiful cedar palace, but the ark of the Lord's covenant is out there under a tent.'" And so Nathan, verse 2, Nathan replied to David, "Do whatever you have in mind, for God is with you." So here's what David was doing. Things were going well, but he was not happy that the Ark of the Covenant was living in a tent outside of the city of David at the time. And so he wanted the Ark to be brought in, and he really wanted a permanent home to be built for the Ark. And so he really had a desire in his heart to build a house for the Lord. Now, you know, in times past when I've studied this, if you know this story, you know that the Lord dealt with Nathan the prophet and said that David wasn't supposed to build God a house. And I always felt bad for David in this. I felt like, well, you know, just because maybe some mistakes or whatever. But that wasn't the case at all. And as I was studying and preparing this message, I saw it in a whole different light. And really, it was a great thing that God did not want David to build the house. Let's look at what happened again. God comes and visits Nathan in the nighttime, and he tells him, "Tell David it's not my plan for him to build a house, but his son Solomon will build me a house." But he said, "I'm going to give David a promise." Now here's the power in this. He said this: "I don't want David to build me a house, but I want to build a house for David." Now, when you get God wanting to construct a house for you, okay, that's pretty good. Can I say it this way? You're having a good day. Okay, when God decides, you know, it's not important that you build me a house, I'd rather your son do it, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to build you a house. Now, the difference is, don't think brick and mortar. God wanted to build him a different house, okay? So Nathan comes and he tells David this. He said, "You're not supposed to build the house, but here's what's going to happen. God's going to build your house." And so let's jump in verse 20 of that same chapter, 17. And David stops for a moment after Nathan gives him that news, and he praises the Lord. He said this: "O Lord, there is no one like you. We have never even heard of another God like you." So this overwhelmed David that God wanted, and I'm going to tell you what this means in just a second. But notice this, drop down to verse 23. "And now, O Lord, I am your servant," and this is David speaking, "do as you promised concerning me and my family. May it be a promise that will last forever." Excuse me. "And may your name be established and honored forever, so that everyone will say, 'The Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, is Israel's God.' And may the house of your servant David continue before you forever." Now, again, I said that it wasn't a house of brick and mortar that God wanted to build for David. What God wanted to build for David was a lineage that would last forever. Now, here's the thing. David said, "Okay, God, I receive that. I pray that you will cause my house to last forever." And here's the good news, y'all. And this is absolutely awesome. I don't know that David even fully understood this, but you need to understand that not only did the rest of the Old Testament, and I know some of the kings made mistakes and all of that, and they sinned and got off course and whatnot, but how many of you know just because somebody messes up doesn't mean it throws God off? Because what happened is that there's somebody later on in David's lineage that was born in Bethlehem, the same place that David was born. His name is Jesus. And here's the thing. Even though Jesus wasn't supposed to be king at that moment, here's the cool thing. The Bible says that at the end of the age, when all this is over and the dust settles, Jesus is going to be seated on the throne of David. Now, here's my point in all of this. If you're David, you're approaching the end of your life, and God Himself gives you a promise that says, I'm going to establish your house forever. I'm going to do something really big for you. And so David says, yes, I receive it, God. Now, here's the awesome thing, is that as David's life was winding down, now David is having a good day. Wouldn't you agree with that? Okay. So as David approaches the end of his life, he knows that it's Solomon's responsibility to build the temple, that's the physical house for God to dwell in. And so what begins to happen is David initiates all of these sacrifices and offerings and things that begin to happen towards the building of that temple. And what happens is David gets so happy about this, he ends up giving, and if you read it and study it out, in today's economy, billions of dollars worth of gold and silver and precious jewels. And here's something else. The people got so inspired by what David was doing that they gave too until they had to tell him to stop. Now, we've had, y'all are great givers here. You guys are awesome. But I can't recall a time when I've had to stand up here and say, whoa, 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 guys, that's enough. Don't do anymore. It hasn't happened. It might happen one day, but it hasn't happened. It happened to David. And here's what I want you to see. David is having a good rest of his life. But the thing that I want you to see is at every turn, he praised the Lord. So when things are going good, that is the time to praise the Lord. Now, here's the danger in this, okay? That a lot of times when things are going good, we forget about God. Because you know why? We don't need Him. Can we just talk for a second? A lot of times when things are going good, we're not reminded that, hey, I need God's help. I need Him on my side. I need to be cooperating with Him. But I know that's none of y'all, because in the good times, you're going to praise God. Amen? Amen? All right, here's the second time, or the next time that you praise the Lord, and that is in the worst of times. In the worst of times. You need to praise God in the worst of times. So you praise God in the best of times, and you praise God in the worst of times. Now I want to go to another story in the Bible found in Acts chapter 16. Now there's several examples in the scriptures of people that were having bad days, okay? But we're going to look at a couple of men here in the book of Acts named Paul and Silas. Now, let me give you a little backstory of what's going on here in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas roll into a town called Thyatira, okay? Don't even try and worry about where that is. You know, just know they rolled into a town. You can say Gastonia. I don't care what you say, okay? But they rolled into town, and what happened is there was a little girl who was demon-possessed with what's called a spirit of divination, is what the Bible calls it. But what happened is that as they would go around and preach, this little girl, who also was making money for people, fortune-telling, she would scream out and holler out, you need to listen to these men because these men are followers of the Most High God. And so she would go around and advertise for them. And the Bible says that Paul became annoyed at this. And really, one translation says that he was grieved in his spirit. Here's why. Because you don't need the devil to advertise for you. Amen. So you don't need demons and devils to run around and promote and market your ministry. And also, you know, Paul didn't want this little girl being bound up with this spirit. So he turned to her and he told the spirit to come out of her. It did. She got set free. Well, what happened is that the men who were using her to make money, all of a sudden their source of income went out the window. And they're lost. I mean, they don't have any. So what they did is they got the whole town upset at Paul and Silas. They went and reported them to the authorities. Well, Paul and Silas got arrested and they got put into jail. They got beaten and they were put into jail. And so we jump in here in Acts chapter 16, verse 22. It says, a mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods, and they were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into the prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. Now, would you agree with me that Paul and Silas are not having a good day? Okay. And by the way, it's not by anything that they did, you know, to bring it on themselves. So the jailer put them in the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. Now, I want to paint this picture for you so you fully understand it. In the Roman jails where these guys were being held, and this was common all throughout the Roman Empire, when a prison was constructed, it was, by the way, I don't know if you know this or not, but the Roman cities had sewage and running water, okay? Now, when they constructed the jails of that day, they made them part of the sewage system. So if you ever are in Europe, or you can go to Rome where Paul was held, that and they take you down to the prison where he was held, it was part of the sewage system, and it was very possible that they were ankle or knee deep in human waste. Now, that's really a bad day. And not only that, they're chained to the wall and can't get out of it. So they're stuck there. So things really aren't going that well for Paul and Silas. And so here's what happens. It says this, that at midnight, Silas turned to Paul and said, "Paul, if we were in the will of God, this wouldn't be happening to us." Somebody saying, that's not in there? Okay, maybe it says this. Silas turned to Paul and said, "Paul, you must have messed up. Because you messed up, we're having to live and be in these circumstances." No, that wasn't even part of their conversation. It says this, "And around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God." Now here's, I love the fact that the scripture puts this in there. "And the other prisoners were listening." One translation says the other prisoners heard them. So they weren't chained to the wall going, "Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus." That's not what they were doing. No, they prayed. And by the way, they didn't pray and sing, "Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows like Jesus." Okay, no, they didn't have their tin cup on the bars. No, it was none of that. The Bible says they prayed and they sang praises. Now, I can only assume, the scripture doesn't tell us what they prayed, but I can only assume that what they prayed went something like this. "Lord, you've called us to preach the gospel. We're not able to preach the gospel while we're here in this dungeon. So, Lord, we're asking you to deliver us from this dungeon so that we can be free to go and preach the gospel." And then they began to sing and praise the Lord, the scripture says, loud enough for the other prisoners to hear them. You know, sometimes when you get in a situation and you're knee-deep in poo-poo, you don't care who hears you. I think sometimes we need to realize that, and listen, I know there's decorum, I know there's appropriateness and all this kind of stuff, but sometimes when you're in a situation, you need to open your mouth and let something come out of your mouth and really not be concerned what anybody thinks about what's coming out of your mouth. Listen, they have no problem cussing in front of us. We shouldn't have any problem praising God in front of us. You know, it amazes me. I get around people and they don't know I'm a preacher. I don't tell people I'm a preacher because people act funny when they find out you're a preacher. But you know, I'm amazed when I'm around people, you know, people that we hire to come do something for us, you know, a tradesman or whatever. They have no problem letting some bombs fly and using the Lord's name. I mean, they don't have any problem. I mean, don't even... Then if they get too crazy, then I might play the preacher card because I just want them to shut up. But, okay. But really, they really don't have any problem. And so let's look at what happened. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and other prisoners were singing or listening. Verse 28, suddenly, everybody say suddenly. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. Listen to me for just a second. See, I think if some of us in the middle of the poo-poo in our lives, if we will praise the Lord, our praise might work to cause somebody else to get set free too. I don't know. I'm just saying based on the story. Because it says when they sang praises, the whole place shook. Everybody's chains came off. Now, if you go on and read the story, I'll just tell you this, and we won't read the scripture for the sake of time, but the jailer jumps in, and he's like, oh my gosh, because he knew that if they escape, he's dead. So he jumps in there. The Bible says he asked for a light to be brought, and Paul had to tell him, sir, and he started to thrust a sword in his gut, and Paul had to scream out and say, sir, don't do yourself any harm. We're all here. And so what the jailer's reply was, what must I do to be saved? See, I just think, you know, when life's happening and life gives you some lemons, if you'll stop and praise the Lord and not be ashamed about it, some people are going to get set free and somebody might even get saved as a result of it. And by the way, if you read the rest of the story, I feel like Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. If you read the rest of the story, not only did the jailer get saved, but his whole household got saved. And there's many theologians that believe he went on to pastor the church at Philippi. Just saying. So here Paul and Silas had been wrongly accused. They're beaten, they're naked, they're in stocks in prison, yet they chose to praise the Lord. Now, here's why they did this. Look at this scripture found in Psalm 22, verse 3. Reading from the Amplified, it says this, and Paul knew this, but you are holy, O you who dwell in the holy place where the praises of Israel are offered. Now, here's what many of you have heard this scripture said like this. God inhabits the praises of His people. And that's a true statement. But I like the way the Amplified says this because it's really saying this. That God, you come and dwell because when your people, this is my paraphrasation, you who come and dwell because when your people praise you, it creates a holy place for you to dwell in. See, here's what Paul knew based on this scripture. Silas, we may not feel like it. Our backs are hurting. You know, we're not in the best of circumstances. Things have really gone awry. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray and we're going to praise because what happens in the middle of all this filth, our praise will create a holy place that God will come and dwell in. How many of you need God to show up in some of your situations? I do all the time. So if you want God to come into your prison cell of bad circumstances, then you got to resist the temptation to grumble, murmur, and complain. And it's not easy to do. But if you will, it will cause God to show up and to bring deliverance. See, I'm so convinced if we will learn this, there's a lot of situations that we go through that if we will praise God in the situation, not for the situation, but in the situation, it will shorten the duration of that situation. Amen. So we praise God in the best of times. We praise God in the worst of times. And then here's number three, and that is this. We praise God in the mundane in-between times. The mundane in-between times. See, a lot of times, life gets normal and routine. You know, and that might not be a bad thing. But what happens is, there's this thing called time. Everybody say time. And what I mean by this is, during the routine of life and during those mundane in-between times, in other words, there might be some time between the last time God showed up and brought deliverance in your life, and there's some routine, mundane times that happen in our lives to where we are today, and there's been enough time that's passed since that last time that God showed up in our lives that we forget about the last time God showed up in our lives. And so what happens is that during these times, it can be the hardest to remind yourself to praise the Lord. Why? Because there's nothing fresh in your thinking about, man, I just remember what God did for me yesterday. Or I remember what God did for me last week. See, sometimes in our lives, that there might be some time since God really moved and did something dramatic. Now, let me say this to you, all right? And listen to me carefully. Don't miss the supernatural move of God looking for the spectacular. Now, I know the old-timers say this, but how many of you woke up this morning? Okay, you got something to praise God for today. Like, I know we talked about this a minute ago, but how many of you have breath in your lungs? You didn't create that air. God gave you that air. You're breathing God's air. And God gave it to you. How many of you were able to get up out of bed and you were mobile and you were able to take care of yourself and all that? See, what I want us to know that in the mundane routine times, it's easy to forget that kind of stuff. It's easy to forget. I love what David said. And by the way, as you read the Psalms, pay attention to the ones that say that David wrote them. Okay, look at Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. This is, by the way, one of my favorite psalms. David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Now, I want to stop right here and make this comment. During the mundane times, you're going to have to talk to yourself. That's what David's doing. He said, soul, mind, will, and motion, soul, we're going to bless the Lord. I may not feel like it. You know, I just feel kind of bleh today. You know, nothing really going on. I just feel bleh. Anybody ever bleh, felt bleh? Okay? You know, nothing big. Just, you know. No, that's the time that you've got to talk to yourself and say, self, we're going to bless the Lord. And then he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. You're going to have to tell yourself, all of yourself, to bless the Lord. Now here's what you do. Bless the Lord, O my soul, David said, and forget not all of his benefits. You're going to have to remind yourself of some things that God has done for you in those mundane, routine times. Notice what David said. He said this, I'm going to remember all of your benefits. Now, see, we don't have a problem remembering the benefits we get on the job, but we need to be reminded about the benefits we get from God. Because let your boss try and take one of your benefits away from you. Well, never mind. Okay. He says this, I'm going to forget not all his benefits, who forgives all of my iniquities, who heals all of my diseases, who redeems my life from destruction, who crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercy. Somebody reach up and straighten up your crown a little bit, because you got a crown of loving kindness and tender mercies. Verse 5 says this, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Here's what I'm believing for and standing for. I'm going to stand for that last part right there. And listen, the older I get, I'm not breaking down and falling apart. Because he satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. See, in the mundane and routine times, you're going to have to go back and stir yourself up and remind yourself of some things that God has done. You know, I've been saved now for 42 years, and I have to remind myself every now and then to go back and just thank God for my salvation. Because I could be lost and on my way to hell, but thank God, by His blood, He saved me. That, yeah, it took place a lot. I received it a long time ago, but the fact of the matter is, I'm thankful for it every single day. Now, here's the next time that we praise the Lord. We praise God in the best of times. We praise God in the worst of times. We praise God in the mundane routine times. And then we praise God in public and in private. In public and in private. Now I'm going to make some statements. I know I'm preaching to the choir. So you take these statements and maybe you can tell somebody later on, okay, because this may not apply to you. If it doesn't, just look down. I mean, you know, or if it does apply to you, just look down, okay? All right? See, we should have an attitude of praise before we ever get to church for the worship service. See, again, I'm going to look down. Y'all look down. When you prepare in private for a public praise, you don't have to have a worship team to crank you up to make you feel like praising God. I'm just going to keep looking down here. Now, there is a place for worship and worship leaders and corporate worship, but here's where we make a mistake as Christians, is we think it's their job to make us feel good enough to tell our daddy how great he is. And that's not their job. What our job is as worship leaders is to pull up with a car, open the door, give you a vehicle to get in so you can go with us as we worship and praise God. I think I will. Thank you. See, I want you to write this down in the side of your notes or somewhere. Write this down. You will be rewarded in public for what you practice in private. I know it is. Thank you. I didn't come up with it, but it is good. All right? You will be rewarded in public for what you practice in private. So if you practice private worship and private praise, guess what? You're not going to have any problem God showing up in your life in public. Hallelujah. See, something that would cause something great in our public praise and worship is if before we came into public praise and worship, we had a private meeting with God. Praise in your private life is what brings power and authority to your public experience. Now, I don't judge. I don't look at people and judge, but I can always tell kind of who spends time with God during the week. Because there's just something that it's comfortable for you. Worship is comfortable for you. Praise is comfortable for you. And I know everybody's at different levels. And I know some are just learning, okay? And I'm not knocking that. Please don't misunderstand me. But what I'm saying is, for those of us who've been walking with the Lord for a while, we ought to be regularly having some private individual meetings with God and not saving it for the public environment. Oh, I think I just need to move off of that one for a little bit. All right. So we praise God in the best of times. We praise God in the worst of times. We praise God in the mundane times. And then we praise God in public and we praise God in private. So I think I'm going to echo what the scripture says. I will bless the Lord, or I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, as I wrap this up, I want to just go to a phrase that we might hear sometimes, and those of you who have been in church for a while, I know you've heard this term, and I want to shed a little different light on it so that you can understand it. And that is this, and if you want to fill in this, that is this: sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to Him a new song. Somebody says, I can't sing. Okay, I know some of us can't sing. Okay? All right? But you can make a joyful noise. All right? But here's what I want you to do for just a moment. Set aside musical. All right? And I want you to maybe substitute in that word or that phrase there, instead of song, say praise. So I want to praise the Lord with a new praise. Okay? Now, let's look at a couple of scriptures. Psalm 98, verse 1. Now, there's tons of references that say, sing unto the Lord a new song. All right? But let's look at this. Psalm 98, verse 1. Sing a new song to the Lord, for He has done wonderful deeds. Anybody in here, He's done some wonderful deeds for you. His right hand has won a mighty victory. His holy arm has shown His saving power. Okay, so keep that in mind. So what the psalmist is saying here, sing to the Lord a new song as you reflect on what God has done for you. Okay, all right. Now let's go to the next reference, and that is Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 40, the psalmist wrote this. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. Now, I love in the book of Psalms, sometimes you see where the psalmist, and a lot of times it was David, where you'll see where he kind of vents a little bit. But if you'll ever notice that those times when he vents, he always, and it's like the Holy Ghost gets his attention, and he always wraps up that psalm that he vents in and turns it around and says, but, or something along that line, I will remember your mercies, or something along that line. And so the psalmist says, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. Look at what he says. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. Go to the next slide, guys. Out of the mud and the mire, he set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. I know there's been some times in my life when, you know what was going on. All right? You just kind of, your life seems like it's kind of swaying to the left and to the right. And the Bible says, as the psalmist said, he set my feet on solid ground. And he steadied me as I walked along. Look at what it says in verse 3. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see that what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. Now here's the new, or just a little different light on that phrase, sing a new song to the Lord. If you look in the Hebrew dictionary, the word song, or new there, new song, doesn't mean a song that has never been sung before. It can mean that, but it doesn't mean that in the main sense of the word. Here's what it means, fresh. 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 What do I mean? What's he saying when he says, sing to the Lord a fresh song? See, I think sometimes, and I know this as a musician, there are times and there are songs that are not fresh anymore. And you have to set them aside and move on. Because there are songs that become fresh to you. Now, for those of you who aren't musically inclined, here's what I'm saying to you, is that you need to be at a place in your walk with Jesus where you are experiencing Him in a fresh way all the time, and therefore you have something fresh to praise Him about or to praise Him for. That's why I said, you know, and listen, the old timers and some of their stuff that they said and did, they weren't all wrong and messed up. So when the old timers say, you know, things like, Lord, I thank you that you woke me up this morning. Yeah. All right. You know, they didn't say morning. They said moaning. Listen, that is a fresh praise. Yeah. It's not stale. Lord, I'm thankful for last week, but I'm also thankful for what you did for me today. God, I thank you that you gave me air in my lungs. Lord, I thank you that I have a job that I can go to in the morning and that I can earn some income. Lord, I thank you that I'm healthy. I thank you that I have mobility. Lord, I thank you that I'm in my right mind. You know what the old folks used to say? Lord, I thank you that I'm not laying on a sheet on a cooling board somewhere, but I'm alive and I'm filled with the life of God and I have His breath in my lungs. And like Paul says, in Him I live and move and have my being. See, that's a fresh praise. That's a praise that hasn't gotten stale to you. That's like when you crack open that brand new loaf of bread. You know how a loaf of bread gets, and it's still soft. Or how about that fresh loaf of bread that just came out of the oven, and you know how good it smells, versus that loaf of bread that you open up and it's gotten dry and crusty and maybe got a little green fuzz on it. You know what I'm talking about. You don't want to eat any of that. No, go and get you some fresh praise. Do like David said and stir your heart and remind your heart of something that God has done for you. Somebody says, I don't know what God's done for me. Listen, if you've been saved for 5 minutes, you have something to praise God for. You have a fresh praise to praise God for. Are you listening to me? Would you do me a favor? Would you take just a moment and would you just lift your hands? And I want you to think about and remind yourself about something that God has done for you in the last day or two or maybe this week. And I want you to open up your mouth. Listen, nobody's paying attention to you. Just let God hear your praise for just a moment. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace. Thank you that I got up this morning. Thank you, Lord, that I'm able to teach and to preach your word. Father, we thank you that we're healthy and healed and whole in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that every one of my needs are fully and abundantly supplied. Come on, lift it up. You can do better than that. Open up your mouth and say some praise to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Father, we thank you for our loved ones that are getting saved, Father. We thank you for those that are coming into the kingdom today. Father, we thank you, Lord, for provision in our lives. Father, we thank you that we are blessed. Hallelujah. 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 Okay, do me a favor. Stop right there. If we were at the Wells Fargo golf tournament, this would be appropriate. But I've seen some of y'all watching NFL, and you lose your ever-loving minds. I think Jesus might deserve a little bit of that from us today. Do me a favor. Maybe it's because you're sitting down. Why don't you stand up, and why don't you give God some praise? Why don't you give God some praise? Give God some praise. Hallelujah. Oh, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, thank you, Lord. You've forgiven all my iniquities. You've healed all my diseases. You've redeemed my life from destruction. You've crowned me with loving kindness and tender mercies. You satisfied my mouth with good things so that my mouth is renewed. And like the eagles, my strength is renewed. My youth is renewed. Hallelujah. Oh, I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I praise you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Ah, hatimaninika shikedi badadafidi. Hallelujah. Sorabamandigile kede badadia. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Manadika sede baradia. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Oh, we love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Praise your holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, worship you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name. Listen to me for just a second. Hallelujah. There are some that you've been trying to go through your everyday life without this powerful weapon at your disposal. You've been trying to navigate through your situations and through your circumstances, and you've even come to the end of your own wits. But the Spirit of God says that if you will dare to open your mouth in praise, even when you don't know the answer or can see your way through, that I will show up, says the Lord, and I will bring the deliverance that you have been looking for. I will bring the answers. I'll bring the fulfillment of the need. I will bring the healing. I will bring whatever it is that you have need of. When you build the place for me to dwell in the praises coming out of your heart and out of your mouth. For yes, this is a strong thing. This is a powerful thing. And I believe and I declare that if you will open your mouths in those times and dare to praise me, says the Lord, that I will manifest myself to you. I will reveal myself to you. And you'll begin to experience me in ways and means like you've never experienced before. And I will bring the victory. I'll bring that which is already yours. I'll bring that which Jesus has already bought and paid for. I'll bring that and manifest and reveal it to you. And there'll be great joy and rejoicing, because you will be able to step back and say, look at what God has done for me. And it will be because of your praise. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Hallelujah. Say this with me. Say, for the Lord is good. Say it again. For the Lord is good. And His mercy endures forever. Say it again. For the Lord is good. And His mercy endures forever. Say it again. For the Lord is good. And His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.